It's Saturday, and welcome to Topcast Shorts, the new show that thinks Star Wars can be cool sometimes. I'm Nas.
I'm Rusty, and Jason's still on Christmas break.
Man, he is missing out. Jason would have all the things to say about this, but I'm going to say a couple of the most important things, and we'll kind of talk about it. So, Casey Hudson is working on a new Star Wars game called Star Wars Fate of the Old Republic. So, it's a single-player, narrative-driven action RPG. Kind of like a spiritual successor to KOTOR, and it's set in the Old Republic era. So Casey Hudson's one of the best things about BioWare that's no longer at BioWare. But right. To give you a little bit of resume here, MDK2 was one of his first games, Baldur's Gate 2, Neverwinter Nights. These are all old games. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, Jade Empire, Mass Effect, Mass Effect Galaxy, Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 3. Right, Baldur's Gate 2, Mass Effect Legendary Edition, and Star Wars Fate of the Old Republic, which is this game. He is also director or executive producer on Knights of the Old Republic, again, and Mass Effect, all the Mass Effects except for Andromeda, so the important ones, 1 to 3.
Right.
And then he was in general leadership for Anthem, which is basically his only bad game.
I don't think that's his fault.
I think it's a pretty impressive resume, though. Like, if you could say that every game but one was a banger out of a resume that long, like, this guy's one of the goats from BioWare we've been missing from BioWare games.
If you look at all of those other games, all of those other games are single-player narrative-driven games.
Yes.
Anthem is the only one that's not.
And he's already worked on a Star Wars game, one of the best ones of all time. KOTOR was one of the goats, and we've been looking for a KOTOR for a long time.
Oh, yeah. This is huge. This is huge. So there's not a lot specifically about Fate of the Old Republic, right? But the thing is since that time the Old Republic era in Star Wars has been kind of in flux because of all of the canon change and Disney and a bunch of other stuff. Like, a lot of things has happened to Star Wars since Knights of the Old Republic. And honestly, I still call people meatbags,
right?
Because of Knights of the Old Republic.
What was the name of that robot's name?
Oh, you're going to ask me that question.
I'll find out what we're talking.
I'm never going to be able to answer it without looking it up. HK-47.
HK-47. You beat me.
Yep. That's the thing. I mean, meatbag is such a thing that's, stuck with me, like, throughout life. But the idea that we have, one of BioWare's best,
That game came out 22 years ago or 23 years ago. I just want to say,
now I'm old.
Now we're basically dead.
Yeah.
It came out when my stepdaughter was born.
Oh my God. So Casey Hudson, having these chops behind him, getting any kind of role on a spiritual successor to the Old Republic games is huge. I want this game hard. The trailer doesn't show a whole lot, but it does feel very Star Wars-y. Just the walk up to wherever, whatever down ship that they're going to, you can see three characters. One's got a rifle. One of them looks like an HK unit or some kind of droid. And then this, the main character that's being shown there, the Jedi, whatever. It makes me hopeful for a good Star Wars story again. It needs to happen. But for me, this actually opens up a whole new thing for me, right? Like, there's a lot that was left in the dust behind Disney's recanonization of Star Wars. A lot of lore was lost. Like, there, you know, the universe literally split between legends and what is, you know, currently the film canon of today. And a lot of the Old Republic stuff was left to the Legends timeline, like the Legends story, which isn't canon. This isn't something that they could build on. The idea that this, while this isn't saying that it's a direct prequel or a direct sequel to Knights of the Old Republic, what it does do is it opens the door to the Old Republic in canon, because everything built after that split has to follow canon. That gives, you know, that gives a lot of, that gives a lot of tree branches that it can go off of. Like, it could recanonize stuff, which, if you don't care about the story, whatever, but bringing some of the characters from Legends back through and, like, giving them, you know, the ability to just, like, you know, either rebrand them or retell that story so that it fits, that is exciting. The whole Old Republic era in Star Wars is, you know, multi-thousand year, you know, period of time, which, you know, the, you know, wasn't like the, you know, the, you know, where the movies go where Jedi are scarce. No, it was the height of the Jedi. And everybody has a fascination, you know, with the whole lightsaber wielding space wizards, right? So,
oh, we like those.
Right. And that's what really sells, you know, that sells Star Wars is the, you know, is, you know, the Force and the Jedi. And a lot of people want more of them. Quite a bit out there. Like, yeah, I mean, The Mandalorian was, you know, was really great. Didn't show a whole lot of Jedi, but still had it in there. But, you know, like Andor, there was a bunch of, you know, like they have IPs in Star Wars that don't have to do with the Force and the Jedi and all that stuff. And they're successful. They can tell a good story. But sometimes you just want to go back to that, you know, good old fantasy of, you know, of the, you know, the height of the Jedi, the, and the Old Republic was, you know, was a key time for, you know, for being able to tell that story.
I think what's key here too, that you didn't really touch on, but just something I've been thinking about, right? The message that AAA has been selling us the last 3 years has been that live service games are the future, right? That RPGs are dead, that single player games are dead, that story doesn't matter, right? That, and then we get to something like this where the two biggest announcements are single player RPGs, right? Both of them kind of.
I'm all for it.
I'm 1,000% for this, right? I think that we are still stuck 10, 15 years ago when we were all online all the time and had no responsibility at all, right? And we're able to online game with our friends constantly, which I do miss some of that. But regardless, we're not in that space anymore. The single player native driven games are a thing. And as adult, it's nice to be able to jump in and play something for a while and jump back out and just continue to pick it up as you go. Only issue with Helldivers is that I've got to get a crew to play. I don't like playing with randos. I know some people do. If I'm doing that, I'm doing it with my crew, and my crew's got a lot of responsibility, so it don't happen. So, I tend to land on narrative-driven or single-player RPG games because I now have more control over that time.
I mean, if you look at, you know, just look at Casey's, you know, list of games, right? All of the games that, you know, that were super successful single-player RPGs.
Oh, yeah. Mass Effect games did gangbusters.
You know, and Anthem being the, you know, the only one that really kind of is the games as a service, right? Oh, yeah. We know that games as a service is hitting rough times right now just because it's overdone. It's a thing that that the people around the board table want, but gamers don't really want.
We don't want another job.
Right? No, I really don't want another job.
I don't like feeling like I have FOMO because I didn't grind this weekend for XYZ, right? Or that I haven't ground enough to get the things that everybody has now, or that everybody's been playing is better than me. Like I like to play games on my own timetable.
I mean, if there was anything that came out of the Game Awards, I think the punch to the gut that came with Expedition 33 winning so many awards and getting Game of the Year was the fact that it's an RPG, it's a single player game. It doesn't have any of that, that jazz in it. It tells a good story. It tells it tells it in a unique way. It just did a really good job of doing it. That is what the board members and people, the bigwigs need to see. And I think that's starting to resonate. Maybe hopefully that starts to resonate and we start to see more of these games come out, say, Fate of the Old Republic, just deliver on a really good story, like sell that shit. And that would make it, make games, for me, it would give me more game to play because I'm like you. I want more of those games that I can just sit down, relax, enjoy the story at my own pace and not feel like I'm missing out on something. There's going to be a spot for the Fortnites of the world, and I get that. But
yeah, that's for Jason's kids.
But there's got to be, there's got to be that balance to the Force. And I think this, this is a really great direction. I'm excited to see what Casey Hudson can do with this. It's not just him. It's, there's a whole team behind it, obviously, but the fact that he's part of it is exciting. And man, just give me a good Star Wars game, man.
Yeah, for reals.
And I don't need pod racing. I don't really need pod racing. Yeah,
no, I always give a shit about that. But
Yeah.
Want to know what you guys think. So if you could leave us a comment, tell us what your thoughts are on it. You guys excited or are you so young that you don't even know what these good games are? Find full episodes of the Tiltcast at tiltcast.com on iTunes and Spotify. As long as the audio versions of these news shorts, of course, you can come back to youtube.com/tiltcastshorts with a Z. And come back next Tuesday for more news. We'll see you guys.
All right. Peace.